Some of the talks before the break have mentioned issues related to nutrients. So to continue in the same direction, I will talk about applicability of phosphorus.
Look here, you can use the mouse, the cursor, if you want to point.
Okay. Applicability of phosphorus indices to wastewater effluent irrigated cropland. The main issue that we have is that only very few indices, they explicitly address effluent irrigation. However, P-indices will be used to evaluate the loss potential of effluent irrigated crop fields. For example, Ohio requires P-index evaluation of effluent irrigated crop fields. Therefore, the first study objective was to determine Pennsylvania P-index score for 11 effluent irrigated crop fields of Penn State wastewater effluent irrigation site. And in order to do this, to evaluate these scores, we did not make any difference between manure phosphorus and effluent phosphorus, and we are calling this as baseline assessment. And the second objective was to re-evaluate the index score based on different behavior of P applied by effluent irrigation versus manure, and we call it modified assessments. And the third one was to assess applicability of P indices for effluent irrigated crop fields. The study site is located near Penn State University Park campus. It's called Living Filter System. The total area of the site is about 208 hectares, half of which is crop field. And the research to study the feasibility of effluent irrigation started in 1963, and full-scale operation started in 1983. We are irrigating 2 to 3 million gallons of effluent every day, and annual average peak concentration is about 3.5 milligrams per liter. And we have year-round application with only 3-hour storage capacity. Now we can move to Pennsylvania P-index. It combines P-source factors and P-transport factors to evaluate P-loss rating, and permitted nutrient loading is dependent on P-loss rating. Now we can look into what are the P-source factors and how do we evaluate them. In this table, in the very first column, we can see what are the different P-source factors that are considered in Pennsylvania P-index and how do we evaluate P-source rating. We can see that effluent irrigation is not included in Pennsylvania P-index. So what we did, we replaced manure P-rate by equivalent effluent P-rate, and we have eliminated fertilizer P-rate because we have no fertilizer application at our study site. But this modification alone is not sufficient to make a straightforward evaluation of P-index score for effluent irrigated crop fields, because we do not know what value of P application method and what value of P source coefficient should be used for effluent irrigation. So I have used different combination of these two factors for my baseline assessment and modified assessment. And now we can move to the step-wise procedure that I followed to evaluate P-index score for these effluent irrigated crop fields. The first one is to evaluate soil test phosphorus rating and effluent P-rating, which is straightforward using the results from soil and effluent phosphorus analysis, and it's constant for all the crop fields. Effluent P-rating is constant, and soil P-rating, it varies depending on what is the millimetricity of a particular crop field. The range is from 65 to 120. Now, for baseline assessment, I have used P application method of 0.6, 0.8, and 1.0. And this selection was based on the time of the irrigation event. For all the irrigation events which were occurring from April to November, I have used application method factor of 0.6. And for all the irrigation events in November and December, I have used application method factor of 0.8. And from December to February, I have used 1.0. And I have used a value of 1.0 of P source coefficient for baseline assessment. This value corresponds to maximum availability to environmental P losses. And once we know all these source factors, we can evaluate effluent rating for one weekly irrigation event, and then we can sum all the effluent rating from all the weekly application to get annual effluent rating. And the last step would be to sum soil test phosphorus rating and effluent rating to obtain source rating. Now, once we have source rating for our baseline assessment, we can move to transport factors. In this table, the first column shows what are the transport factors which are considered in Pennsylvania Phosphorus Index and how do we evaluate transport rating. Most of the transport factors for all the 11 crop fields are common, and they are shown in yellow. These are erosion, runoff potential, subsurface drainage, and modified connectivity. The only transport factor which is different for the studied crop fields is contributing distance. Contributing distance, it represents minimum distance between the edge of a crop field and the receiving surface stream. So we have evaluated this in GIS. Here we can see map of Penn State wastewater irrigation size and irrigated crop field, irrigated forest, and the location of surface streams. So based on the distance, minimum distance between the edge of crop field and receiving surface stream, we have crop fields which belong to four different categories of contributing distance, which are shown here. Now we know all the transport factors. The next step we can do is we can evaluate transport sum and transport rating. So after we are done with evaluation of source rating and transport rating, we can calculate p-index value. If our p-index value is below 60, or it is between 60 and 80, they correspond to low and medium p-loss rating respectively, then N-based application is permitted. If it is between 80 and 100, then p-based application is permitted. And if it is greater than 100, then it means that we cannot apply any phosphorus. So these are the results for our baseline assessment. And the numbers and the alphabets in each box represent, they are just the field identification identifier. So we don't have to worry about them. Out of these 11 fields, we can see that three crop fields have very high p-index score. So we cannot apply any phosphorus, or we cannot apply any effluent. And the two fields have high p-index score. So these results are not very encouraging for effluent irrigation. But again, we have evaluated these p-index score without making any difference between effluent phosphorus and manure phosphorus. And p-index are primarily designed for manure phosphorus. So now we can move from our baseline assessment to our modified assessment. And we consider the different behavior of p-applied as effluent and manure in our modified assessment. We make two changes, one in application method factor and one in p-source coefficient. So let's look at application method factor. Well, we propose to use a factor of 0.4 as the application method factor for all the irrigation events which are occurring under non-frozen conditions from March to November. Earlier, we were using only 0.6, 0.8, and 1.0. And this factor of 0.4, it corresponds to P application with manure and followed by incorporation within 1 week. Now, why do we think that we should use a factor of 0.4? These are the reasons. First, the irrigation schedule, which is 12 hours of spray irrigation followed by 6.5 days of rest, it ensures complete incorporation of effluent P within 1 week. And the second is the mild rainfall of low intensity is considered a mean of P incorporation. And third is irrigation rate, which is 0.16 inches per hour, is well below the infiltration capacity of surface soils. So because of these three reasons, we believe that we can use a factor of 0.4 to better assess risk of P loss potential from effluent irrigated crop fields. And this is the results of our P index. These are our P index score after we have made changes in our application method factor. And we see that three fields still have very high P index score. And if we compare these results with our baseline assessment, we see that we have gained two fields. Now, we can make further changes in our modified assessment based on P solubility difference. In case of manure application without incorporation, the result is accumulation near the surface. So if manure has high amount of soluble phosphorus, which means that there is a greater potential of runoff P losses. Or in other words, we can say that runoff P losses and soluble phosphorus, they are directly proportional to each other. However, if we look at the effluent irrigation, which are designed so that there is no surface runoff of applied effluent. So if we have higher soluble phosphorus, it means that it will go down and it will not stay at the surface. If we had some particulate phosphorus, then there is likelihood that it will stay. So we see that there is a inverse relationship between soluble phosphorus and runoff losses. So we propose to use a p-source coefficient of 0.4. Which is a minimum discrete value in P index, and earlier we were using the maximum value of 1.0. Now, if we reevaluate our P index score, we see all the 11 crop fields have either low or medium P index score, and N-based application is permitted in all of these crop fields. And if we compare these results with baseline assessment, we have gained 5 crop yields, which earlier were restricted for effluent irrigation. Now, in addition, there are some other differences between manure and effluent, which are not so easy to incorporate in the P-index. The first one is frequency of application. For manure sites, normally we have one or two large applications in a year. But for an effluent irrigation site, we have very small and frequent application of phosphorus. So why effluent irrigation is better than manure? Probably because soil are better buffer for smaller P addition, and low amount of phosphorus is available at any application time for an effluent irrigated site. And another difference between manure sites and effluent sites and manure sites and an effluent irrigation site is how the long-term soil test phosphorus behaves in plow layer. So this figure shows changes in soil test phosphorus in plow layer from 1983 to 2009, and this data comes from Penn State wastewater irrigation system. And we see that for the last 15 years, we have a slight pseudo steady state of surface SPP, although we have been continuously applying excess phosphorus. So, and the reason for this is that excess phosphorus is going below the plow layer. So it means that we are not accumulating phosphorus near the surface, as I said before. So in addition to this quasi steady state trend in SPP, there are other regions that support that P which we are applying at living filter is having minimal impact on surface quality, and this comes from the research performed by Drissol and Parijek. They concluded that precipitation, snowmelt, and irrigation water that are not lost by evapotranspiration are transported to groundwater. So we should be looking more at the groundwater phosphorus concentration. And this figure shows, the y-axis of this figure shows phosphorus concentration in groundwater, and the x-axis shows percentage of sample with P concentration equaling or exceeding the value on the y-axis. And the trend line with the black square, this is the data from recent year, from 2005 to 2008, and the rest of the data are from 1960s. And we see that all this probably 4 decades of wastewater effluent irrigation, it did not have any adverse impact on P concentration of groundwater at this study site. So we conclude that strict application of state P index suggests some fields at the living filter site or Penn State wastewater irrigation site have higher, very high potential for P loss despite no documented impact on groundwater or on off surface water quality. And the phosphorus applied via irrigation exhibit different behavior relative to manure, warranting modifications of P indices for evaluation of effluent irrigated fields. And the caution is warranted when extrapolating use of state P indices beyond condition under which they were developed. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, it is true.
Repeat the question.
Yeah. The first thing the question was that some manures they have high soluble phosphorus, and how can I justify using, basically they are similar in characteristic to effluent, and how can I justify using a factor of 0.0? But in case of effluent irrigation, we do not have any surface runoff, so everything which is applied, it is expected to go downward. But in case of manure, it may have very small amount of solid content, but still the rate at which we are applying it may be much greater than the infiltration capacity of the soil, so it may still stay on the surface for a while. So that's why we still have greater risk for manure in comparison to effluent irrigation. And they are highly regulated, the wastewater. My talk was more focused on municipal wastewater effluent. So they are, what should be, the application rate cannot exceed more than 2 inches per week. And in our Penn State wastewater irrigation site, we irrigate once only 12 hours. So that's the main region that I would say that we have less risk in case of effluent irrigation as compared to. Yes. Yes. The steady state trend, which I have shown, that plow layer soil test phosphorus has reached a steady state. That's because the phosphorus that we are applying, it is going below the plow layer. But we have very deep soil, at some places more than 30 meters. So that soil which is below plow layer is still capable of holding the phosphorus. And the groundwater is very deep at this site, greater than 30 meters. So we do not see any impact of groundwater. But if this would be, if the groundwater was very shallow or the soil was very sandy, then we will have to worry.